Documentary, I guess it's coming around.
Mm-hmm.
Four parts chronicling Bill Walton. I mean, this is a sports talk show, and if you haven't seen Bill Walton or you don't know who Bill Walton is, you must have just stumbled upon this show.
Look,
and you're
get educated.
What are you guys doing again?
Educate yourself.
Steve, how we doing?
Steve?
Steve James on the line with us. Steve, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Gotcha. Can you hear us?
Ah, yes. Sorry. I'm saying it's going well. I guess it wasn't.
Well, I was going to say, were we having a Bill Walton moment? What's going on here?
It's that Canadian smoke up there in Chicago. Be careful, Steve.
No, if it was a Bill Walton moment, you wouldn't have even been able to introduce me. I would have just started talking.
So how did this all – let's just start with the obvious. How did all this come about?
Approached me a couple of years ago, closer to 3 years ago, and said that, you know, they were in talks with Bill about possibly doing a film focused around the Portland Trailblazers and him. And he was interested, and they wondered if I was interested. And I said, heck yeah. I followed Bill's career since UCLA days because I'm an old guy. But then I read his book, Back from the Dead, his memoir, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to do it. And so I went out to San Diego for a weekend and hung out with Bill and two of his best friends who were there to vet me, along with his wife and Bill. And I guess I passed the test, so here we are.
Yeah, here you are. In that setting, like we've all, Steve, we have guests on the show that we love, and over the years we love having on, but we know they talk, right? And so some guests, it's just easier than others. You just wind them up and let them go, and others you have to draw things or pull things out of them. I don't suspect that's the case with Bill Walton. When you sit down, do you just let the cameras roll? Like, how does that work with Bill?
Because you're right. Bill is never at a loss for words. But this was different. You know, this wasn't just letting him, you know, roll along in that kind of classic stream of consciousness way that he can go, and that can be quite entertaining. I mean, you will see plenty of Bill rolling along in the docuseries, but we really organized a whole series of interviews with him centered around certain parts of his life, because I really wanted him to be able to focus and think deeply about each of those phases of his life. And I think that bore real fruit, as you'll see in the series, because I hope you'll see a side of Bill. You'll see the side that you're familiar with and that you find quite entertaining, without question. I'm hoping you see a side of him that maybe is not so familiar to the public.
Bill Walton's been around for a long time, Steve. Did you learn a lot during all of this? I mean, were there times when you caught yourself going, I had no idea?
And I had no idea. I knew Bill had an injury-marred career. I had no idea just how devastating those injuries had been all those years. Because, you know, when he was going through a lot of that, particularly in his early years, you know, there was a lot of skepticism on the part of the media and fans in Portland especially about, like, well, you know, is this guy faking it? Is he really hurt? Are these phantom injuries? And there's no question when you dig into Bill's story and you see that the man had 34 surgeries, many of them in the service of trying to stay on the court, that, you know, there was no faking going on here. He just did not have feet that were made for his frame and for basketball. And so that was a revelation, even though I knew that he'd suffered a lot of injuries. Another small revelation was seeing him in high school, seeing footage of him in high school playing and seeing that signature rebounding and outlet passing that Bill became famous for, even as a high school player. No one taught him that. He just did it. And he was also a defensive prowess. He had defensive prowess starting in high school. He played the same kind of game that he would play at UCLA and in the pros at the high school level, which was team-oriented, trying to get the team the ball to the right teammate, passing, rebounding. You know, he was not a guy that wanted to run up big numbers, scoring numbers.
Justin and I were talking about this during the break, and I would be curious on if you thought about this too, the filmmaker, and you said you wanted to take him down different paths. I've been, you know, very fortunate to be and lucky to do this for a long time, 25 plus years. And I've been able to interview a lot of really, really famous people. And it's a sports talk show, but I've also been lucky to interview a lot of comedians over the years, and most of the time in person, in studio. And while it's fun and while you get excited, it's also nerve-wracking, right? Because you're just not sure how it's going to go, because comedians can take it all kinds of places. Mm-hmm. And you have to, a lot of times, you're worried if you can set them up and take them down that path. Did you kind of have the same thoughts about Bill Walton and doing this?
The challenge for me with Bill was twofold. One was try and get past the public persona some, you know, to get beneath that, because he has a well-rehearsed public persona. I mean, it's not rehearsed in the sense that he, you know, he definitely speaks off the cuff, but it's, he has a kind of way in which he is in the public, which is familiar to us by now if you've been following him. And it was really important that we get past that if we're going to do a genuine, in-depth look at his life. And so that was one level of challenge. The other level, which you'll see in the docuseries when you watch it, is, you know, there are a number of times where I leave in there where I'm asking him a question and he pushes back on me or questions me. Usually documentary filmmakers don't put their own questions in, but I found it to be revealing and revealing of him. And it also gets a little bit at the relationship, the sparring that kind of went on between us from time to time. I'll give you an example. At one point I say to him, he's talking about that great Portland team after they swept the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals on their way to the championship. And he's talking about every guy on the team and why they won was because of them. And I say, and Bill Walton. And he goes, I was just on the team. And I'm like, why do you deflect? Why do you constantly deflect your contributions? And he was like, because I'm a team guy. And so then I quoted him his statistics in the L.A. series against Kareem in his prime. He averaged 27 points and 20 rebounds a game, something like 5 block shots. And he just yawned through the whole thing. You know, it was a theatrical yawn. It was a theatrical yawn, but he was yawning through the whole thing, just saying, this is all boring, this is all boring, I don't care about this. So, you know, there's some of that with him, which I enjoyed. I enjoyed the sparring. I think he did too. There were times he got a little testy with me, but I think overall we evolved into a real relationship during the course of making the film.
Steve, I've got two questions for you. One about Bill Walton, and the other one about Hoop Dreams. And let me get to Bill Walton here. For the last 17 years of my life, I've been a television journalist and done numerous stories about all kinds of things. The opportunity to talk to somebody about somebody like Bill Walton about his entire career is a daunting task, because Bill Walton has had so many different faces to the public. So I'm just going over a few. There's Bill Walton at UCLA. There's Bill Walton at the Portland Trailblazers as a dominant all-star. Then there's Bill Walton, the veteran off the bench with the Boston Celtics. Then there's Bill Walton, the broadcaster. How in the world do you get yourself focused and get him focused on one particular thing to chop this up into a way that makes sense?
Hope we succeeded. You'll be the judge of that, but I think that's how you end up with a 4-part miniseries, because there are so many aspects. You didn't even mention the Clipper years. Which
I didn't,
really
no.
and that may have been on purpose, but you know, and the Grateful Dead. I mean, he's been to over 1,000 Grateful Dead concerts. I kid him that he's been to more Grateful Dead concerts than Jerry Garcia, and then he goes, oh, no, that's not true, you know. So, but I think one of the keys to doing that, and again, you'll be the judge of whether we succeed or not, was I let him know, like, when I was coming to town, and I went frequently. I said, okay, on this trip, I want to talk about your high school years, or on this trip, I want to talk about the Clipper years, or this trip, we're going to really dig into the Boston Celtics. On this trip, we're going to really dig into all the injuries you've had throughout your entire career. That interview alone was almost 3 hours long because there were so many injuries. And so I think by dividing it up, it helped him too. It helped me, that's for sure. But it helped him to know that he didn't have to perform so much as just kind of revisit this part of his life and talk about it. And it allowed us the time to try to dig in on each of those topics instead of just hit them, you know, and move on.
I can't let you go without asking about Hoop Dreams a little bit, which, of course, is the other work, and you've done a lot of work, but the other work that you're known for. And I've never had a chance to say this to anyone associated with that piece of work, but I want to say thank you and let you in on a little piece of insight that you may or may not know. But when I was a kid, a lot of people wanted to be basketball players. What do you want to do when you grow up? I want to play in the NBA. I want to play in the NBA. We had a teacher that forced everybody who wanted to be in the NBA to watch Hoop Dreams. You sat down, you watched Hoop Dreams, and then they asked you at the end of Hoop Dreams, do you still want to go to the NBA? And a lot of kids, you know, after watching that, had a bit of a mind change about, you know, because I don't think anybody really wrapped their brain about how hard it is to get to the NBA. And so, just from me as a consumer when I was, you know, much younger, to somebody associated with that film, I just want to thank you for showing the grind it takes, because you made it real to so many kids who, you know, still wanted to do it but didn't understand how deep it was.
Really nice to hear. Thank you for sharing that. I've been amazed at what staying power the film has had, particularly among young people and young ballers. You know, I meet people over the years from time to time that are, you know, young and played ball or pursued the game at different levels. You know, some made it to college, some didn't. I know that there are some guys in the pros that the film has meant a lot to. But, you know, it's always nice to know that the film still speaks to people in the way that it does, because I do think Arthur and William are inspirational young men. Yes, they wanted it, and they gave it their all, and it didn't work out for them, but they're good guys, and they come from good families, and they, you know, and what they took away from the game wasn't making it to the NBA, but they took a lot of other things away that has served them well in their lives.
Yeah, what you showed is how good they were, and it made everybody think, well, I'm not as good as these guys, and these guys aren't going to make it? What are you talking about? It just made everybody think, and, you know, and the teacher's whole objective there was to let everybody know, if you think you're good, you may want to reconsider your future career plans. And listen, you know, we were you know, middle school, you know, junior high school kids, you know, 7th to 8th graders, you know. But they made us sit down and watch that, and that has always stuck with me. And as soon as I found out we had a chance to talk to you, I wanted to share that with you.
So the first two episodes of this 30 for 30 are a week from today. Is that right? So it'll be 7 o'clock Central
tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
The first two.
Oh, okay. Tonight. The first two, and then the final two will be a week from tonight. Is that right?
8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central.
7 Central.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
you know, Mountain 5 Pacific.
We're big fans of the 30 for 30, so
yeah,
looking forward to it. Steve, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, sir.
Really great to talk to you guys. Take care.
All right, that is Steve James. He is a part of this, of course, ESPN Films. First two episodes airing tonight on Bill Walton.